All right, Proverbs chapter 8. Last time we left off in verse 17, where it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Just by way of review, it's been wisdom that's speaking. Notice again in Proverbs 8:12, where it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So you've got a discourse here about wisdom, and actually it's wisdom that's doing the speaking. Wisdom given a person is. It's like a personification of wisdom. So in Proverbs 8:17, when he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me, it's speaking of wisdom. And yet, again, there's a lot of similarities between this and between Jesus Christ himself. And there'll be more similarities as we go on. But now, noticing about wisdom specifically, verse 18, he says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now turn back to Proverbs 3 and notice the verse that we looked at before. In Proverbs chapter 3, and in Proverbs 3, start with verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. All right, wisdom here associated with riches, with treasures. He says in Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 14, it says, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, merchandise is something that you purchase, or it's loot, or it's goods that you can get. Some people that aren't so honest, they may steal and rip stuff off and, you know, talk about the merchandise that they've gotten. But if you go out to a store and you buy a lot of different things, and you get, what you get is your merchandise. That's the merchandise that you get. Consequently, they call people that sell them merchants. Merchandise is something generally thought of as something that you purchase, something that you get. Now, he says that the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So what you can gain from wisdom is better than the silver and the gold on this earth, what it can give you. Apparently, it looks like there's something that you actually purchase with wisdom. Well, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. But come back to Proverbs chapter 8. Notice this further. Proverbs 8:18. He says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. All right, then the riches that come with wisdom aren't just the same as earthly riches and earthly treasures. These are durable riches, riches that will last. Let's look at some other verses dealing with these things. In Hebrews chapter 10, first off. Hebrews chapter 10. Now this runs along the line with set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, look at verse 34. He says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So these people here knew in heaven they had a substance that would endure. When he talks about wisdom and the riches that it'll give you in verse 18 of chapter 8, he calls them durable riches. And that's the same to compare with this enduring substance that you've got in heaven. The treasures that you lay up for yourself in heaven, they last, they endure. So the riches that he'll give you, he calls them durable riches. Come back to John chapter 6. Notice this word coming up. In Proverbs 8, it's durable. In Hebrews chapter 10, he calls it an enduring substance, from the same root word, now in John chapter 6. And watch Jesus, what he says. John 6. John chapter 6, verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. All right, then you've got one substance that perishes, it grows old and wears out, and then you've got one substance that endures to everlasting life. Wisdom will help you to obtain that type of substance, so that when you set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, you gain wisdom, the wisdom that God has to offer you, and live your life accordingly. You are purchasing for yourself riches and treasures that are going to last forever up in heaven. Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll notice this further as we go, come on down. But first of all, turn to Matthew chapter 6 before we get back to Proverbs 8. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, look at verse 19. Jesus says about this again, Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. These are the riches that perish, the meat that perishes, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So the treasures you lay up for yourself in heaven, thieves can't break through and steal it, and moth and rust can't corrupt it. And then he adds a little P.S. onto the end of the verse. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Plain point. That is, if you're gaining and working to get treasures on this earth, that's where your heart's going to be. It's going to be in the world. It's going to be earthly. You're going to be worldly. And he said in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But if you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, see, if that's where your real riches are, that's where your heart's going to be. It's going to be in heaven. Okay, back to Proverbs 8. Which brings to light the reason why so many Christians today are worldly, because their treasures, all the treasures they got are on earth, and when they die, that's, they ain't got nothing to take with them. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out from a physical standpoint. But what you can take with you is the riches and treasures that you gain by living a life that's abandoned to Jesus Christ and His will. Proverbs chapter 8. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Okay, again, then in the paths of wisdom, you follow the paths of righteousness. With wisdom is righteousness. It's pure. It's first pure, then peaceable, full of good fruits, without hypocrisy. Real wisdom is real. The wisdom that is from on high is real, and it's pure, and it's not associated with a person that's living a sinful life, a carnal or a worldly Christian. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit, the things that wisdom will yield. My fruit is better than gold, like the verse we looked at in chapter 3. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue, the word you recognize, don't you? My revenue than choice silver. It's comparing this wisdom thing with like a monetary setup, with money and finances and things. That's the direct comparison. What you're doing now by living your life on earth as a saved Christian, you're investing. You're building upon the foundation that was laid when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're building every day, every moment of your life. You're either building wood, hay, and stubble, or you're building upon that foundation, what? Gold, silver, and precious stones. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, not down on this earth. Not gold, you know, from Fort Knox, or silver and precious stones that you find on this earth, but gold, silver, and precious stones that endure the fiery trial at the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand before the Lord. Real riches. You're an investor. Whether you like it or not, you are investing. Your life is spent investing. What you want to do is you want to invest in the right places and the right things. The effort that you put forth and the time that you spend investing in the will of God, in the Word of God, in sincere seeking and searching for the Lord, that's going to be paid off. And when God gives His dividends, the stuff that He brings forth is going to far surpass what you invested. The market's going to skyrocket. It's going to, your investment's going to double, triple, quadruple, and maybe 10, 100, 1,000 times more than what you invested. The Lord is righteous, and He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and He will pay you back. So you're not wasting time when you're investing your life for the Lord. So He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. All right, now you get somebody running around that shoots off their mouth and tries to tell you about the Bible and speaking the Word of God, and you watch their life and they're living, you know, a life of sin, and they're living like the devil. You can learn something. He's probably not got the pure wisdom from God. If he's trying to profess to you that he knows what he's talking about, then you examine the fruits of his life, and he's failing time and time again to live a righteous, pure life, then something is missing. Wisdom, the pure wisdom that's from on high, leads in the way of righteousness. So this man, if he's being led by God, he's gonna pretend to be led in the way of righteousness. And if he's failing, you know, if he's trying but failing, okay. But if he's failing and giving up and keeps falling in the same rut, over and over and over again and stays down more than he's up, something's wrong. He's missing out somewhere on the pure wisdom from God, from on high. So wisdom leads in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. All right, this is directly associated with verse 18. We're going to look at a little bit about this as we close up here, the short time that we've got. But speaking of wisdom, he says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Wisdom's talking about the people that love it, she's going to cause to inherit something, to inherit substance. That's real things, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I remember that word coming up again in Hebrews chapter 11. Where he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance is stuff that you oftentimes is used in the sense of what you purchase other things with, the substance you have to buy something. But look at it. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, or just things that you will possess, and I will fill their treasures. Wisdom will fill your treasures at the judgment seat of Christ. Your eternal treasures. Come to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Wisdom said that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Colossians 3, start with verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. Talking about a reward, we know where we can get them, the judgment seat of Christ, the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Well, then he's talking here in Colossians 3 about an earned reward that you gain from living your life for the Lord. You know, about the time you get to the place where it doesn't matter to you if you get anything from the Lord or not, you know, you just want to do his will, you find out, well, I may not worry about getting anything, but the Lord's going to pay me off. Something's coming in anyway. And he's going to pay you off for what you do. And so he says, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. All right, same setup here, Proverbs 8. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. So when he talks about this thing with wisdom and the inheritance, he's been dealing specifically with earned rewards that you'll get when you die and stand before the Lord. If you've obeyed his will and you've sought after him, gain the pure wisdom from God. And that's the meat that you want. So when you consider these things, it's no wonder that he speaks to children, speaks to his sons, and speaks to the sons and children of the Lord, that wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Okay, any questions on this? Proverbs 8. Now, last time we were in here, we left off about verse 21. And just reviewing, wisdom has been speaking, has been given a discourse. It starts out in Proverbs 8:1 again, speaking about saying, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. And it looks like a nice dissertation on wisdom, which it is. Then when you get down to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, you notice that the person that is actually doing the speaking is wisdom. It's personified, Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So it's wisdom just actually speaking about itself. And then he came on down through verse 18 and 19, 20, and 21, and we talked about last time about how wisdom will help you to be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ and help you to have your treasures filled at the judgment seat of Christ. Just look at verse 21 again. He says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And we ran some different references about inheritances and the reward of the inheritance, and looked at how that deals with actual rewards that we, Christian, children of God, sons of God, can get and receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Look back up at verse 18 along those lines. He says, riches and honor are with me. Then he says, yea, durable riches and righteousness. And we ran this and compared it with a passage in John, which, just for refreshing your memory, I'll run to again in John chapter 6. Verse 27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. and showing you that there is just physical meat, the stuff you get on this earth that passes away, it perishes, and then there's that meat that endures. And Jesus spoke about a meat that endured to everlasting life. He told them to labor for it. Well, there's a meat that we can get that will endure unto everlasting life, treasures that will endure to the judgment seat of Christ, through the judgment seat of Christ, and will go and abide the fiery trial that we face at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're tried, every man according to his works, what he's done in his body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Things that we do on this life, things that we spend our time doing, will be judged according to the word of God at the judgment seat of Christ through a fiery trial. And he says in Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, speaking of wisdom. He says, yea, durable riches. Now the riches that wisdom gives you is not going to, you're not going to look for, when you get wisdom of this earth, look for physical riches and blessings to find out that you've got the blessing of God. But he's going to give you riches that will endure the test and the trial at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll pass through the fire, they'll endure that, and they'll go on and you'll be fixed up and have some eternal rewards, some eternal riches. When you look for God's blessing today, look for it in the respect of spiritual blessings, spiritual prosperity. If a man goes for this whole life and doesn't have much money, doesn't get ahead on this earth and have a fancy car and a fancy house, and yet he's close to God, he's done what God wants him to do, he's been a success. Success in this life is finding out the will of God and doing it. Success, you want to be successful, you find out what God wants you to do and you do it, and you'll be a success. The world doesn't like it, if the world doesn't approve of it, and they don't give you their blessing, you've made it, as far as they're concerned. The Lord sometimes gives us physical blessings along the way, but this is not to be the indication, of whether or not you're blessed of God. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and notice this misnomer that a lot of people have. 1 Timothy 6. In the Old Testament, especially when the Lord was dealing with folks, a lot of them would, they'd get tremendous physical blessings. And lots of times people would look at that and they'd think, well, now, if this guy's got all kinds of riches, then surely he must be blessed of God. The disciples thought up those ways. One time Jesus told them that it's easier for a rich man to, or it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples couldn't understand it. They said, who then can be saved? They figured if a man's got riches, then surely that's an indication that God's blessed them. Then Jesus straightened them out on the subject. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, coming into the New Testament doctrine, Paul was given a nice dissertation here, a lot of good things in 1 Timothy 6. But when he gets down to, we'll start with verse 5, continuing the statement he begun. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, he says, supposing that gain is godliness. Right there in the middle of that, he talked about there a group of people that supposed that gain was godliness. Some people look at things and they think, well, if you get physical blessings, physical riches, you get all kinds of money come in, then you're blessed of God. That's not necessarily the truth. That's not necessarily the indication of whether you got God's blessing. Some people suppose that gain is godliness. We've got this nice new building and the Lord's allowed us. We've got this, $400,000 complex that we're going to be building, and churches talk about all this building programs and they suppose they're blessed of God. And, that doesn't mean they're blessed of God. A lot of people out in the world have tremendous mansions and everything like that, but you think it's because of God's blessing on their life because they're godly? Well, maybe the Lord allows them to have and everything, but it's not because of godliness. Examine their lives. A lot of the actors and actresses and people, they got all kinds of worldly riches and worldly wealth because of their godly, supposing that gain is godliness. That's the tendency, that's what the world, they tend to look at things that way. People that get ahead in this world and they got all kinds of these types of blessings, well, they tend to look to them. They look to them and they look at them with great esteem. They stand back in awe, and the reason being is because they're covetous. They covet after the position and the wealth that those people have, and they wish they could be in that position. So a lot of people suppose that gain is godliness. Paul talked about the people that talk like that. He said, from such withdraw thyself. Then he talked in verse 6 and laid it out for you. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It wasn't that gain was godliness, physical wealth and heaping up riches to yourself on earth. That wasn't godliness at all. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And he elaborated on that when he said, having food and raiment therewith, let us therewith be content. As long as the Lord provides you with food and provides you with clothing and shelter, be content with that. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Another place he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. People, they get off on this and they continuously lust and covet after things that they don't have. The eyes of man are never satisfied, it says in Proverbs. Therefore, hell and destruction are never full. Man's eyes don't get satisfied. They keep wanting more and more and more. And this world's set up to make you covet. The whole media, and you take television and everything like that, it makes you covet. It makes you want things that you don't have. Catalogs, magazines, newspapers, advertisements, billboards, they make you desire things that you don't have and many things that you don't need. So the Bible tells you to be content with such things as you have, and godliness, pure, godly life, following after the Lord, godliness with contentment, that's great gain. That's what gain is. And he says, be content with such things as you have. So some folks, they think this physical blessing, you take as far as churches goes, if they got a big, nice, beautiful, great auditorium, they think that's wonderful. And it's nice when the Lord gives people nice auditoriums and stuff, but I've been in some real plush places, auditoriums for church service, and spiritually speaking, it was really dead. I'd rather be, you know, in a little chicken coop somewhere like my buddy Cargo had out there in Washington, D.C. I'd rather be in a little place like that where it's not fancy and there's not a whole lot of frills and extras, and just have the power of God and the Spirit of God meet with you there and have the Lord himself be there and be comfortable than be in one of these hard, stiff, plush places and, you know, not have anything. And some of them are like that. Now, come in Revelation chapter 3. This was a church that thought, you know, they were like that, and they thought like that. That's not saying that, you want to understand me, it's not saying that the Lord can't give you a nice church building, you know, and where you have carpet on the floor and the walls looking nice and painted and everything like that, and not meet with you. It's not saying that at all. But that's not the thing that you're looking for, to find out whether or not you got the blessing of God. Revelation chapter 3. Here was a church that they had it. They had the external riches and they thought they were rich. Revelation 3:17. Jesus rebuking the church of Laodicea. 3:17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They had the physical need met. Rich, increased with goods, they had them in abundance and have need of nothing. He says, and knowest not that thou art poor, or thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Well, they had lots of riches. They looked good, you know, from the world standpoint. Wonderful building, beautiful auditorium and all kinds of things like that. And he said that they were wretched, miserable, and poor. Well, you wouldn't think to look at somebody that had a nice, beautiful home and tell him he was poor, would you? You know, you wouldn't go into the house of the richest executive in Lockport or Buffalo area and say, this is real nice, but it's too bad you're not rich. You could, though, on a spiritual sense. He might have all kinds of earthly riches and wealth and just be destitute spiritually. Not saved. And he'll die and go to hell. And then whose will those things be? Be left for somebody else on the earth to mess with for a little while until God finally wipes and destroys it out and it all burns. This world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So he said that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He had counsel for them. 18. I counsel thee to buy of me. Well, they've been purchasing from the merchants on earth and buying all that kind of stuff. And Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me what? Gold tried in the fire. Durable riches. Gold that would endure the fire. The gold on earth, it'll vanish. It'll melt away. The earth and the works therein, they're going to melt with the fervent heat. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Here they are with earthly, worldly riches and treasures, and Jesus tells them they're not rich. Then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. They thought that they were rich because they had physical material blessings, and he said they weren't. So he wanted them to buy the real riches. These are the durable riches and treasures like we read about in Proverbs chapter 8. So he says, riches and honor are with me, 8:18, Proverbs. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Okay, come now to Proverbs 8:22. In 8:22, he said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Speaking again of wisdom. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Many people are inclined to think that wisdom here is referring directly to Jesus Christ, but it won't pan out. There will be some references that definitely point to Jesus Christ, but it won't work all the time. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Well, speaking of Jesus Christ, when God prepared the heavens, Jesus wasn't only there, but Jesus was the one that prepared them. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3 and try to get this down and remember this, Ephesians chapter 3. When God created things and put them together, he did it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the one that did it. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now when God created this world, when he spoke the world into existence, he did it by the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a great revelation to me after I got saved and got into the Bible. I'd heard about God creating the heaven and the earth and was well aware of that. And Genesis account of creation, had known about that. But then when I got into the New Testament and found out that Jesus Christ was actually alive and around before them and God created everything by him, it was a revelation to me. I didn't know about it. Jesus Christ then, when he showed up on this earth, that's when his life as a human began, but he existed far before that. He was back there before God ever created anything. And when the Lord created it, he's the one that did it. So in Proverbs 8:27, when it says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Jesus was there, but Jesus was the one that actually did it. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now he goes here, he's talking about before creation, then he goes and starts talking about the creation, and then he goes on past that, and he goes on in verse 31, right from verse 30, when he's still on the subject about creating things, right there at the creation, he comes to verse 31, he goes on to a point beyond that time. He says about wisdom that he was rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. A habitable part of his earth is the part that can be inhabited. Somebody can live there and dwell there. But he says his rejoicing was with the sons of men. At the beginning of the creation of earth, there was only one son, right there at the beginning. And it wasn't until a while after that that there was more people on the earth, when the earth was populated and inhabited. So there was one there at the beginning, and then afterwards there was more. So when he says, my delights were with the sons of men, it goes on a little bit beyond the time of the immediate creation. My delights were with the sons of men. He says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. So he's going all through this thing about creation and how wisdom was there and how the Lord by wisdom created the earth and he established the heavens. And there's similar passages to this in the book of Psalms. And it talks about how God stretched out the heavens in Psalm 136, 6, and where he says, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. And 136, 5, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. So the Lord did it by wisdom. And here it's wisdom talking about how the Lord did it. And again, that's Psalm 136, 5. It says, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord puts out this earth, and he puts out this world, and he creates the universe and every little intricate thing in it by his wisdom. When you think about it and examine just everything that's in the earth and all the possibilities and potentials and things that people even are just finding out, you begin to notice and you can examine the infinite wisdom of God. There's so much little intricate things, and you just have to observe the creation. And find out. You look up in the sky at the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You watch the stars. You go out there on a nice calm night, and when the stars are shining, and you look up at them, and you think. And these things help you to get a grasp and help you begin to understand the Lord. You can see. You look up. When I was young, I'd look up at the sky and I'd wonder, where it ended. I figured the sky just went up there, and then all of a sudden, when we saw that blue, it was like, I don't know, like an eggshell or something. If you hit something up there on top, it'd break. I used to sit there and play with this little gun thing I had, and I'd pull the trigger and it'd shoot this little disc and it'd start spinning up in the air and fall down. And I remember my grandma's in the backyard one time looking up and thinking, now if I shot that thing all the way up in the air, it went up to the sky, it hit the sky and break it, and then all kinds of water would come down and flood the earth. And I guess there was a lot more truth to that than I realized at the time. But you get looking at there and you try to think about the infinite power of God and just where he is and try to grasp him. You look up at the stars and you look up past the sky and you wonder, where does it all end? Of course, scientists are coming up with all these, there's black holes and all kinds of universes way out there, and they've only begun to search and claim. And in their foolishness, you think they'd point them to God, but a lot of it, those scientists, they point them right to their own brains. They don't realize that there's a God out there. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If a person will look at that thing and examine it, they'd realize that this universe, this world in which we live in, has to have a designer behind it. Somebody that knew what they were doing had to create it. It didn't just happen by chance. I mean, to look at the way the earth is and in relationship to the sun, if the earth was so much more closer, to the sun, it'd just burn up, and so much farther away, it'd just freeze. And think that it just happened there. It all evolved like that because that was the greatest, the best way for it to work. I mean, if it evolved like that, then there had to be probably at least 100 million Earths that burned up and 200,000 that froze before they finally got it right. Man would have you think things like that. It's just foolishness when you examine it. You look at the creation. You look at some of the birds God's created. Just all the fine details and the different colors and things like that, and the songs that they sing. Something like that just popped up one day, Started out in a mud puddle somewhere, and there was a big bang or something, and everything like this just spun off and it just happened. No, man, somebody knew what they were doing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You look at the different things he's created. You're looking at sometimes just all the different fish. If you see, open an encyclopedia or something, get a book about fish, and just see all the little intricacies and the different types and the different colors. And it's just amazing. And you got to know all that stuff just didn't happen by chance. There was a designer, and the Lord created him, and he did it for himself. The Lord had created all things for himself. He put it all out there, and a lot of it's very intricate and very detailed. And so he talks a little bit about the creation here in Proverbs 8. He does it by his wisdom. That's how he created it. And there, you, again, you get to examine it on your own, you get studying it, you know that there's wisdom behind it. Men are beginning to explore a little bit of that wisdom, but they don't attribute it to God. They're foolish. Okay, Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. He appeals to them by the creation. He appeals to them by whoever created this earth and the wisdom that he has. He did it by wisdom. Now he says, therefore, hearken unto me. If God created this earth, if he created this world, and he's the one that did that, and it was wisdom that allowed him to do it, then it would pay us to hearken to the voice of wisdom. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. The person that keeps the ways of wisdom, they get a blessing. They're blessed. 33. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. That's a little bitty verse, but you know that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to hear instruction, especially when it comes from somebody that you know you don't like or you don't look up to. And yet sometimes they're the people that give you the best instruction. People ought to gear themselves to listen to the words of instruction. You can get instruction from all kinds of places and all kinds of people. You can get instruction from somebody that's really, he's very foolish in his life sometimes, but maybe he'll come out with words of wisdom that you can gain something from. If a person tells you the truth and he's not living right, you can still learn from the truth that he tells you. Another passage another verse in the book of Proverbs says to go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You can still have the lips of knowledge in a foolish man and still learn something from him. Truth is truth no matter where it comes from. If a bum out in the streets that's, you know, roaming the streets and drinking his life away gives you some words of truth and wisdom, you can still gain from him. It's still truth. Man may be a bum, he'd probably pay off by taking heed to the words that he gives you, but it's still truth. So you want to learn to tune your ears into truth and into instruction. So he says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Then when somebody instructs you in the right way and they're teaching you the truth and they're teaching you how to live right, you want to hear what they say. You want to listen to them. Hear instruction. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You're to incline your ear to the words of wisdom, the words of instruction. When you hear it coming out, when you know where it's going to be shelled out and given out, take time and listen. Take time and hear it. Think about it. Hear instruction, and if you hear it and put it into practice, you'll be wise. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Just sit there quietly, patiently, or stand there as somebody gives it to you, and don't refuse what they have to say. You know, don't turn them off. Don't shut them off. Don't ridicule what they say. Refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Notice three things that come out in verse 34. Blessed is the man, number one, that heareth me. Number two, watching daily at my gates. Number three, waiting at the post of my doors. You've got a man that's hearing, watching, and waiting for wisdom. If you're to get wisdom, you've got to listen to it, you've got to watch for it, and you've got to wait for it. You hear it with your ears. You listen to what's being spoken. You watch for it with your eyes. You observe things that are going on. And then you wait for the Lord to put the pieces together in your life and as you examine the elements of wisdom. Blessed is a man that heareth me. All right? You get a blessing just for listening to wisdom. So if you know where wisdom comes out, then just incline your ears to it. If you know that there's, like, you take people today in Christianity, in 20th century Christianity, have at their hands, and they've got tools that people years and years ago didn't have. We can get tapes, keep tapes to ourselves, Bible study tapes, the Bible recorded on tape, all kinds of stuff like that. We can keep them to ourselves, we can listen to them. And this is the type of thing we want to do. We want to hear wisdom. If you know where somebody's speaking it, if you know where it's being shelled out, if you know where it's recorded, then tune in, listen, hear it. You can get tapes from preachers, all kinds of preachers, good Bible preachers all over, and you can get a good education just through listening to Bible tapes, cassette tapes. I've learned a lot just by listening to different preachers and finding out about their ministries, just hearing them on tape. And that's one way to hear wisdom. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. If you give wisdom, you've got to watch for it, and you've got to watch for it daily. He says, watching daily at my gates. Then it's not just something you get Sunday morning, perhaps Sunday night, Wednesday night, when you come, or whenever you come to a church service. Wisdom is something that can be found out daily, every day, as you live your own life as an individual, as you walk through this earth. Something that you can gain and you can tune into as the Lord reveals wisdom to you. You want to watch daily then, wherever you go. Wherever you go, you want to take these words that you've been instructed in, that you've been informed about and educated in, and that you've learned. You want to try to apply them to the things you see going on in this earth and in this world. The Bible will open up things that are going on in this earth. It'll show you why things happen, the way they happen, and it'll enlighten the eyes of your understanding. So a man's blessed if he hears the words of wisdom, and if he watches daily, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And that's along with Isaiah 40:31, where the Lord said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A person will find wisdom as he waits. Well, you got to be patient with the Lord, and be patient with the Bible, and be patient with wisdom. You keep seeking continuously after the Lord. You just wait upon Him, and by, He'll put the pieces together. People get impatient, and they try out Christianity for a while, and they try living right for a while, and if after 3 weeks or 3 days it doesn't go right, they quit. But the person that gets blessed is the person that keeps on plodding along, keeps plowing away, and he waits. Waiting at the post of my doors. You don't turn away from it. You don't walk away from it. You don't refuse it. You just wait. You keep going. You keep heading in the right direction. The person that waits at the post of his doors, they get a blessing. And this is hard to do sometimes. And yet that's one of the keys. That right there is one of the keys to the whole Christian life. Is keep being able to keep doing right and waiting for the results. We want to see immediate results, We want to see it happen all right then and right there. But the Lord takes His time. The Lord puts the pieces in the right place at the right time, and He just waits. He's in control of the situation and knows it, when He's going to come through, and you don't. So just wait. Do right. You've got all the promises. You got all the promises that doing right is going to pay off, spiritually speaking. You're going to be better off for it. And when the results don't come in right away, don't bring railing accusation against the Lord. Saying, all right, if you're not going to help me out, God, then I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to give up. I quit. Just wait for Him. He'll come through. He'll come through and help you out. So He says, blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Got to hear wisdom, you got to watch for it, and you got to wait for it. Okay, we'll stop right there then. Any questions about anything? Okay, we'll take a break there.